Oh, I love that song. As I travel down the road, I listen to this Pandora thing in my car, and I've got this. I've got that. My granddaughter set that up for me, and I listen to this praise station, Selah Radio, and I'm telling you, I've been listening to that song quite a bit. They're playing a lot, and oh my goodness. Go down the road, and I get singing in the background with him. Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah, that's a great song. Thank the Lord. Well, it's good to be back, and I was surprised. I didn't know Pastor was going to be back tonight, and it's so good to see him and his wife. Precious people. I just have grown to just love to be around them, and it's always good to be here at this church. And thank you again for all of your kindness. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me. It's been a good experience for me over these years. I really appreciate it. Well, let's get started. Oh, thank God. Lord, help me tonight to say what I feel like He's put on my heart. And you that were here this morning, I told you that this one might be somewhat of a continuation. It's not like part two, but you'll be able to see how they sort of connect. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. This is very, very, very familiar scripture. It's been used over and over again, but man, I just love it. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Remember that. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And He said, "Go." I'm going to stop right there. He said, "Go and tell the people." But I'm just going to stop with the "go." All right? Is that all right? This is an amazing experience that Isaiah had. Isaiah was a prophet of God, went to the temple of the Lord and saw something that he had never seen before. I'm sure he was acquainted with the presence of the Lord. But on this particular occasion, he had an encounter with the Lord that he had never had before. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for one of those. I'm ready for one of those encounters that I've never had with the Lord before. I've known Him, been around Him, been touched by Him. But I'm ready for an encounter that I've never had before with the Lord. How about you? I really am. I really am. It might be a little bit of a frightful thing. You know, could be. Sort of scary at times. I want you to notice exactly what we're going to be dealing with tonight. The first thing we're going to be dealing with is Isaiah got a new, fresh vision of God. That's where it all starts. Doesn't start with anything else. It starts right there. He had a fresh experience of God. He had a fresh awareness of two things in particular. He had an awareness of the authority of God. How many think we could stand a little bit of that in our life today? Yeah. The authority of God. Now, why I'm saying that is, the word that's used there for the Lord of hosts is the word Adonai. And it simply means this: the supreme Lord, the supreme master. I really think it's time for us to get back to where we see God as that. God is not a Santa Claus. He is not somebody up there that his job is just to make us happy, happy, happy until Daddy takes the T-bird away. Aha! Some of you listen to the Beach Boys in your lifetime, haven't you? Yeah, I can see it all now. Got some heathens in this house. But anyway, I am just convinced that some of the gospel or whatever it's been called over these last several years have got people thinking that the real purpose of God is just to make us happy. He just never wants you to have a care. He never wants you to have a worry. It's just bigger and better all the time. But I'm telling you, we need to get an awareness of who this God is. He is the supreme God of the universe. Amen? And something else, we need to remember this. Those angels weren't saying, "He's happy, happy, happy." They're saying he was holy, holy, holy. This means, now listen to me closely. I studied this. You know what those word holy there means? It means separated or unapproachable. You can't come to him. He's unapproachable. He's holy. He's pure. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the guy that's seeing him. He's talking to the prophet. He's saying to Isaiah, "Oh yeah, you see him, but you can't get close to him because he's holy." I want to tell you something. I thought a little bit this afternoon as I was reading this scripture again today. You know, I've never seen an angel. Well, that Bible said that you might entertain angels unawares. So if I have ever entertained one, I'm unaware. You know. But if the Lord ever does let me see an angel, I really hope he lets me start out with your basic two-wing model. I'm serious. I'm not sure I want to see one of these guys. Six wings flying around. One covered their face, two covered their face, two covered their feet. With two, they were flying. One translation says, they were screaming one to another. They were saying this one to another. Hey, he's holy. He's holy. This God on the throne, he's holy. This God that has all power and has all authority, he's holy. Well, the next thing that we find that we need to deal with is, after Isaiah saw the Lord, then he saw himself. And he heard the seraphim singing or saying, "He's holy." And then he saw what he was matched up to this holy God. And he didn't look so good. He cried out and said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Now, he saw himself in two different lights, and we'll get to it in just a second here. But the first thing he saw about himself was he could not get close to this God because he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, I've thought about that and prayed over that, and I am not sure what that means about him having unclean lips. I don't know if he'd been telling dirty jokes. Maybe he lost his temper and cussed. Not sure. But one thing I am pretty confident of. Now, this is just bolting. You can take it and run with it. Don't have to pay any attention to it. But I do know that Isaiah, historically, really was a close friend of King Uzziah. And King Uzziah had been a pretty good king. But the Lord let him die. And now again, this is just bolty. I'm just wondering if Isaiah disagreed with that fact that God let him die. And I'm just wondering if Isaiah hadn't opened up his mouth and grumbled against this holy God. I do know this much. The children of Israel historically are grumblers. I mean, from the time God got them out of the land of Egypt, they started murmuring and complaining. My word, they had no sooner got over the Red Sea by the mighty hand of God, and they're complaining. It's in their genes. Just complain. I don't know. But I'm just thinking here that he says, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst you. But, and I'm just wondering if he's not saying, I've been complaining. And I dwell about, I just dwell around a bunch of people that are complainers too. They're griping against God. They don't happy about nothing. And can I tell you something, friend? It's time for us to make sure that we put a watch on our mouth. If something goes on in your life that's not enjoyable, and something goes on in your life that you might not even know if you agree with it or not, put a watch on your mouth. You hear what I'm saying, Boldy? I've had to practice this for a year and a half. My daughters and my grandchildren, we've all practiced this. I think I mentioned this to you when I was here a couple months ago in revival. The day that my wife passed and we were standing around her bed, and after we embraced one another and we cried for a while, I said, all right, let's all stand around this bed and let's open up our mouths and let's say this verbally. You are the Lord. And we trust you. Did I feel like saying that? No. I felt like just getting underneath that bed and crying. Did I like the fact that my wife of 54 years passed? Absolutely not. Was I hurting in my heart? You better believe it. Still am. But you will not hear me or my children or my grandchildren say one thing about God failing us or God letting us down. No, sir. That ain't happening. I've learned the hard way that He is the supreme Lord. You that remember my testimony, if I ever learned anything through that whole ordeal, it was this, that He is the Lord. That He is the Lord and not me. And the best thing and the safest thing I can do is to humble myself before Him. And so I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you're wanting to have something new in your life and new and exciting in your life, if you've been grumbling against God and complaining against God, it's time for you to have a fresh cleansing. How many think you can stand a fresh cleansing? Yeah. We just let stuff. We live in a world that's a mess. I thought about this. Have you ever had a shirt, like a white shirt? You hadn't wore it? You hadn't laundered, let's say? Or your wife fixed it or something? You might even take it to the cleaners. They put light starch in it, or however you like it. Do you know if you let that thing just hang in your closet, you don't have to wear it. In 6 months, you'll pull that thing out and you'll say, what in the world? I thought I had this thing laundered. Because you're living in a world where there's just dirt in the air. You're exposed to it every day of our life. And I am telling you this. You and I need fresh cleansing from God. Oh, yes, we do. I want to see Him, and I want to be touched by Him anew and fresh. I want Him. I don't want to just keep going around saying, woe is me. I want to be touched. And what is so wonderful about this gospel that we preach is, not only does He forgive us, He forgives us again and again and again. And the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for every sin I've ever committed in the past or anything I ever do in the future. Oh, thank God forevermore. I need that fresh cleansing. And I need to have the awareness that I have been clean. Don't want to walk around in guilt. Don't want to walk around in shame. I want to know that God has touched me and that He has cleansed me. And I want to have that witness in my spirit that my sins are clean. I've been purged. My iniquity is taken away. I want to have that something between me and God, to where I know that everything is right between Him and me. Amen. You say, well, Brother Boldy, how often do you pray and ask God to forgive you? Well, how did Jesus tell me to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer? Let me try this group over here. See, all we're interested is give me. Give me. Give me. Give me. Well, don't forget, in that same prayer, He taught us that we should pray, forgive us our trespasses. Amen. Sounds like to me that needs to be pretty much of a regular thing in our life. You say, well, Brother Boldy, do you go out here and sin every day? Well, I don't practice it, but I want to tell you one thing, just in case I think about something or something that I might almost do. You ever been riding down the road and you think you're pretty spiritual and then something happens real quick and you're not so spiritual? I probably have told you all this before, but years ago I was driving, we was living in Hattiesburg, and I was on I-20 coming home from Texas, and I mean, you talk about rain, it was raining. It was raining so hard cars was actually pulling over and just stopping. And I had gotten down to where I was going like 10 miles an hour. I mean, you couldn't see. It was coming in sheets. And so I, you know, me being a spiritual guy, I'm praying. And I'm saying, oh, Jesus, I sure would ask you, Lord, just keep your hand on me. Let me get home safe, Lord. God, keep your hand on me. Lord Jesus, just let an angel help me, Lord. And I was doing some good praying, Tom. I thought I was. And about that time, one of those big trucks flew by me. I don't know. He must have been going 60 miles an hour. And he threw up a wake of water, and it slammed into my, it scared me to death. It slammed into my windshield like a horrible sound. It almost sounded like my windshield was going to come up. And I just had to grab and get to the side of the road. It scared me so bad. And soon I got over my scare. I said, if I could catch that guy at the next truck stop, Pastor, I forgot about the angel's protection. I was wanting to catch up with that guy. Oh, man. Hello? Everybody still here? Did you ever notice how sometimes we can go from a prayer meeting to wanting to whip somebody pretty quick if we're not careful? I'm just telling you, my friend, it won't do us any harm to say, oh, God, cleanse me. Fresh and new. If I said anything, I've done anything, God, I don't want there to be one thing in my heart that keeps me from enjoying the presence of a holy God. I want to get close to You. Amen. I don't want to be separated from Him. I want to be able to approach Him. And if I have cleansing of the blood, I can approach this holy God. Amen? I can approach this holy God. All right? Let's go on. We've got Him. He's got a new vision of God. He's got a new vision of himself. And now he hears the Lord say this: whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Now let's answer that question right there. Send us where? Go where? Where's God needing somebody to go? Well, it's not heaven. So, well, I just thought the Lord just want me to go on up to heaven. Get a grip. Everything's all right up there in heaven. God don't need us up there witnessing in heaven. No, he's got heaven covered pretty good. All right? But I believe I know where he needs the help and where he wants the help. For it said this: the whole earth is full of his glory. That's God's plan. You remember what I said this morning in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14? You remember what we talked about? The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's exactly what we got to understand. That is the purpose of God and what he wants on this earth. He wants the knowledge of the glory of God to be on this earth and to cover this earth. And it's going to happen. Now, when, I don't know. And how long it's going to take, I don't know. But it's in the process right now. Because there are people all over this world that are hearing this call that says, who will I send? Who's going to go? And somebody is going to understand that God is looking for someone to represent him on this planet. You say, well, Brother Moldy, I just thought we was going to get saved to miss hell. You got to be kidding. That's all we know? Well, I just want to go over there and see Mama and Daddy. If I can just hear my mother pray again. Oh, come on. Don't get mad at me. But man, I'm telling you. If that's all our concept of heaven, I can't wait till I get over there and get in my mansion, put my feet in that river of life, never cry anymore, look out there and see my gates of pearl. I'm telling you. That's it. That's your concept, what eternity's about. You're going to be sadly disappointed. I am convinced of that. If you think that when we leave here, all we're going to do is go up there and sit around and laze around, you're going to be so, so disappointed. Because God has always been a God that's doing something. And everything that he's ever created, he has created for a purpose. And in the very beginning, he created a man and a woman to populate this planet. All right? And he's never changed his mind. This planet is going to be filled with sons and daughters of God. And that's how the glory. Why? Because his presence and his glory dwells in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives in us. We're his glory on this planet. And we're supposed to be sharing this glory. We're supposed to be glory producers, if you will. Did you know that the Bible says this? That we are salt and light? Do you know what that means? That means we're people of influence. You and me are supposed to be influencing this city. The dope pushers aren't. We're supposed to be the ones. Did you know that this Bible also teaches that you and I are the ambassadors of Christ? When President Trump sends an ambassador to some other country with a word or a message, that ambassador better not get over there and change the message. because he has one job to do, and that's to send forth the message of the President of the United States. You and I are the ambassadors of Christ. We don't make up a new gospel. We don't make up a new plan of salvation. We teach what we have been taught from a risen Lord. And we give forth the truth of His death, His burial, His resurrection, of His life, of the Holy Spirit. That's what our job is. Did you know that this Bible says that you and I are here in Christ's stead? Hello? See, He's the head of the church. He is the invisible head of the church. We are the visible body of Christ on this planet. And if an unbelieving world is ever going to see Jesus, they're going to see Him through you and I. If they're ever going to behold His glory, they're going to see it through you and I. That's our job. When He says, who's going to go? Who shall I send? Brother, when we raise our hands, we better understand what we're supposed to be doing. Here am I. Where can I go? What can I do? Well, I'm glad you got to that question and you ask it, because I'm going to spend the rest of the night trying to answer it. How in the world do we really believe that it can happen? Now, if you'll just forget about CNN News and everything else that you see on the newscast, and start understanding that there's a God in heaven that controls this earth. Remember I preached this morning? He's in control. He's in control. He knows. He's got a plan for this planet. And He's looking for a group of people, somebody that's going to say, I'm ready to do what I can on this earth and bring forth the glory of God. What can I do? What can I do? Well, here's what we can do. We can go, we can send, we can partner. Got it? Some folks might feel a definite calling that they're supposed to go someplace. It might be in a ghetto situation. You know? Like a Bill Wilson. He's been up there for probably 40 years, up in one of the nastiest places on the planet, out in Brooklyn, New York. I remember when I pastored Mobile, I heard he was coming through town. And I called him and I said, hey, is there any way I could get you for a service on Sunday? Yeah, sure. I said, okay. So, anybody ever met Bill Wilson? If you probably have seen him on the TV, because trust me, he's not a movie star. And I don't mean this wrong, because he's a good guy, a wonderful man. But he's not some guy you say, you know, that is one handsome dude. That's not Bill Wilson. I got to the airport in Mobile to pick him up. I'd recognize him because I'd seen him on TV. And he's about 6'1", and if he weighed 130 pounds, I mean, he's like a knife blade. I mean, I got one leg that weighs more than his whole body. I mean, the guy is just a bone. And he had jeans on, sneakers, pullover sweater, long stringy hair. And his suitcase was one of those metal suitcases like the dope pushers carry. I'm telling you, he looked just like a dope pusher. I'm sorry. I love the guy. He's a great guy. And when you hear him talk, he's about wore out his voice in all these years. Because he's got an operation up there in Brooklyn, New York, to where he takes care of 4,000 kids a day. 7 days a week they have Sunday school, some kind of training for kids. Been doing it forever. Still drives a bus picking up kids. Horrible. Horrible. And he spoke at my church, and it was just a horrible. Well, now let me say this. It was a great service. But when it was over, you were wore out. Because he had you laughing. He had you crying. He had you laughing. He had you crying. I had one of my good men of the church came up and said, "Oh, Brother Boldy, I wouldn't have missed this for nothing, but I couldn't take him 2 weeks in a row. I am wore out." How am I kidding you? Just a great guy. And he told me some stories, and he got me so carried away, I got up there that morning and I said, "Folks, I just feel like we're supposed to do something special for this man's ministry. Let's get out our checkbooks. Let's start giving. And I want you to write out some checks. And I don't want $1.50. I want some money here." And I said to Sandra, "Sandra, you and I have already been in agreement. We know what we're going to do." And so she pulled out our checkbook. And we started writing. Other people started writing. And in that one service, we gave him $6,000. And it wasn't even an advertised service. Gave him the check when it was over. He thanked me for it. He said, "Brother, I want you to come to New York and see my operation." And I said, "You know what? I'd love to come. I really would." And so we went out for lunch. And then at lunch, he started telling me about how he'd been hit in the head with a brick and went blind. And the Lord healed him of his blindness. He told me about 3 or 4 of his workers that's been stabbed to death over the years up there working in that street. And he just started telling me stuff. He said to me, "Brother Boldy," said the other day, he said, "we had a SWAT team commander come in and he said to us, 'Keep the kids in here because we've just got some dope pushers. We got them trapped in over a building across the street and there's going to be a gunfire. But just keep the kids in here.'" And he said, "And after a while, it just sounded like a war zone out there. People screaming, people shooting. It was horrible." And he said, "After a while, the SWAT commander came in, said, 'Okay, it's clear. You can load up the kids, get them home, whatever. It's fine, it's safe.'" And he said, "We went out, and there were bodies hanging out in windows." And I said to him, "You know what? We're going to send you money every month. But I ain't coming to New York. I ain't been there yet. Amen. Been supporting his ministry for 20 years. But I ain't going to New York. If I heard the Lord say go, I'd go. I hadn't heard him yet." Okay. But what I'm just telling you, somebody heard go, and he went. Now you and I might never ever be sent to someplace like that. You might be going to someplace. Never know. Got one young man who's raising this church. He's in the Philippines. Heard go. And I can't remember the whole story, but it seemed like to me that he had other plans for his life. Didn't he? Didn't he go to Auburn? No? Yeah, he went to Auburn. You other Alabama fans, just sit there. He went to Auburn. And it seemed like to me that he had other plans in mind that he wanted to do. But somewhere, how many know? This God that sits on the throne can interrupt our plans anytime he wants to. Because somewhere the Lord's going to say, "Hey, who's going to go? I need something in the earth." Might end up in the Philippines. I don't know. Might not. But somebody's going to go. If you can't go, you can send. We can send people. We can help people fulfill their callings. Oh, yes, we can. Missionaries that need our help. People that need assistance, financial assistance. Like I mentioned, Bill Wilson, they need it. I'm happy to give. Want to do something for these people. We take care of some people through our ministry. We're not a big ministry, but
I get to support people in Cambodia. Got a kid over in India that I support. I've started up with this Uganda thing. I'm just one of, I can't go to all these places. I'm 75 years old. I can't be running all over the world anymore. But I can send. And I can also partner with people that are going all over the world. I can be their partners. I can be their prayer partners. I can do something to help them out. I want to share with you something that happened to me last week. Last weekend, I was in Houston. Oh, let me just tell you about that thing in Uganda. I mentioned it this morning in case you wasn't here. Let me tell you. Remember when I was here 2 months ago I gave out my testimony on tape and a bunch of pieces about it? Well, that money goes, I had that money already set aside to go to Uganda to help them buy Bibles. Needed $1,200. And some of you people bought them, and then some of you stuck some money in my pocket. Well, anyway, we got the $1,200. Amen. And the Bibles are already there. And we got my daughter got a picture of the kids from the orphanage there waving their Bibles in the air. And I'm just so thankful for that. I want to partner with those people over there. I already made up my mind. I don't believe it's by chance that my daughter hooked up with those people. And Michelle went over there and spent 10 days at that orphanage and worked with those kids and fell in love with them. And I imagine Michelle will be going back every year to work there as long as she can. She loved it. But her dad ain't going. Hey, it's a long way over there. I'm 75 years old. But I tell you what I've found out. I found out that those people are training children in that orphanage. And he's got 120 of them right now. Teaching them English. Leading them to Jesus. Teaching them how to be disciples so they can make disciples. And I'm going to dwell with that some more in a minute. They feed those kids. If you get on, what did we talk about this morning? YouTube, iTube, SumTube, YouTube. I'm not any smarter than I was this morning. Anyway, if you get on YouTube, you'll find out some information about Acres of Hope. One thing you'll find out is they raise their own vegetables. They figured out a way to have, is it called hydroponic? And they use water, and that you'll see where they have solar systems set up to where these solar panels cause their generators to work. And they raise their own vegetables. And they have their own chickens. And they take care of those kids. And they have milk cows. So those kids can have fresh milk to drink. Well, I just received word last week that it rained over there and one of the milk cows got down in a river and drowned. And so now they're short of a milk cow. Well, that milk cow costs $1,000. And I ain't got $1,000 right now, but I will. That'll cost you. No. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm going to be going out preaching. And I'm going to just be telling the same story. And I'm going to tell people about those people over there in Uganda. And I'm going to tell them about Acres of Hope. And they need a milk cow. We need $1,000 to get them a cow. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because they are teaching a generation about the things of Jesus. And that generation is going to grow. And then you're going to have moms and dads that's going to have kids of their own. And they're going to teach that generation. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this last weekend, I was invited to go to Houston. You know, I've been to Vietnam 4 times. And the city of Houston has a huge Vietnamese community. And every year they have a convention there in Houston. Well, the man that I've been to Vietnam with 4 times, he contacted me and wanted to know if I'd be the keynote speaker this last weekend. So I went. And one of the men that I was there, I've heard about him for years. Some of you probably have seen him. His name is Dave Reaver. Dave Reaver was a guy that was injured so bad in Vietnam many, many, many years ago. He's now 72 years old. He was scarred. His nose was blown off, an ear blown off. He's just a mess. He's had 67 operations. Well, he's 72 years old now. And he started this thing of Wounded Warriors. And he had a Wounded Warrior camp out in Colorado, I believe it is, for Wounded Warrior vets that can go there and be treated and be evaluated. They can go there and get counseling. It's a great ministry. Well, the Lord has given him great favor with the people of Vietnam. And even though it's a communist country, they like him, and they've given him permission to start a school over there if they teach English. Well, he's bringing in Christian. He didn't tell him. He said, oh, yeah, I can get some teachers over here that'll teach English. Well, they're all going to be Christians. They're all going to be believers. And so they're going to be teaching all those kids about Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord going to cover the earth. Now, here is a man that's a Vietnam veteran that looks like something out of a scary movie. Trust me, his whole face had to be rebuilt. His nose is a rebuilt nose. His lips are rebuilt. This ear's artificial. He's got fingers and thumbs missing. He was burned horribly. But that guy has devoted himself to this kind of thing for all these years. What I'm trying to say is, I'm partnering with a guy like that. I want to be partners with him. I want to do what I can to be with him, support him, whatever I can, because he's teaching children, and children are teaching children, and more kids are growing up in the things of God. What's going to happen? Here's what the philosophy these people are living by. If you teach a child and train a child, then you train a life. And if you really disciple and train a life, you can train a generation. And if you train a generation, you can change the world. The first time I made my first trip to Vietnam, first trip I made over there, it's been about 10 years ago. The man that was in charge wanted to start like a Bible school, an internet Bible school, to train and disciple converts. Got it started. My next year I went back, they had graduated 15. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. You know how many they have graduated in the next 8 years? 100,000. That's almost enough to make you shout right there now. I said 100,000. What's happening? Somebody's interested in filling the glory, the earth with the glory of God, reaching out. I don't know what's going to happen in our country. I said that this morning. I'd like to think that a great revival is going to sweep our country. I'd like that. I would like to see just big stuff. But most of the things that we have that go on in our country ends up being, I don't know. You have to, it just becomes merchandised and everything. Those people aren't interested in merchandising. They want to bring people to Jesus. Then they want to train their children. They want to their children to train their children's children. They're convinced that they can change the country of Vietnam. And anybody that can go from 15 students to 100,000 graduated students. And I'm telling you, this is not a crip course. This is very intense study that they have to do. And then the final examination has 360 questions. And they have to be able to answer them. They can't answer 300 of them. They've got to be able to answer all 360 and do it correctly. See how why here in the United States we couldn't do this? I said, you understand why here in the United States? Because really, we just don't have time. Our schedule won't allow it. we'd have to miss NCIS. I mean, for crying out loud. You know, old Leroy Jethro Gibbs couldn't do without us. We've got so many other things that's vying for our time. But I have met these people that are so sold out to hearing the voice of this God that says, who will go? And I've made up my mind by the help of the Lord. For as long as the Lord lets me live, this is what I'm going to do. I might not be able to go to all these places. I might be able to go to a few. I don't know. But I can send and I can partner. And I'm just challenging all of us to get a fresh new vision of God, of ourselves, what God has called us to do, and how many think we need to get involved in all of this stuff. Amen? Let's stand together. Oh, hallelujah.